Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Hanover Haunting, Deanna Simpson story. Deanna Simpson thought she was about to embark on a fresh new chapter in her life. Little did she know that next chapter would be titled The Hanover Haunting. After finding what she believed was her dream home, she very quickly discovered that she had entered a nightmare. After a few strange incidents, a priest was brought in for a simple home blessing, only to have the priest storm out of the home, leaving burn marks on the floor. Deanna was locked in for a ride that would include strange and unexplained whispering late at night, doors slamming and opening on their own, unexplained shadows lurking down the hall, plagues of locusts descending on her home, and more. In desperation, Deanna reached out to anyone who would listen and offer a possible solution to her Hanover haunting nightmare. However, not everyone who wanted to capture evidence left them in a better position than when they entered the home. Fighting dark forces takes far more than just investigators who could prove that what she said was real. The demon still refused to leave her home. Today we learn of the Hanover Haunting, the Deanna Simpson story, from Joni Mahan.
Well, what led me to the story was really fascinating because it was a series of synchronicities and just connections that probably wouldn't have happened otherwise. So Deanna Simpson has been going through this haunting for a number of years, for like 11 years, and she finally got to a point where she wanted to get it out and get the story out as a book because it's been on several paranormal shows, but nobody has told the whole full story. So she initially was working with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and they had a contract for a year, and Rosemary just could not get to it. And so they kind of parted ways at that point. And then, you know, recently Rosemary died. So kind of a, you know, strange little synchronicity there because she wouldn't have been able to finish the book anyways had she started it. But so Deanna started looking around, and she saw me on Facebook. We had been Facebook friends, and she started asking several of my other friends if they knew if I would do something like this. And the friend that she reached out to knew about my success with Bones in the Basement, the story about the S.K. Pierce Haunted Victorian Mansion. And this would be a fairly similar format, story about a haunted house and how the people escaped it. So she called me and reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in doing this. And I thought, well, I mean, you know, it's a big book. When you go into something like this, it's not just writing the story, it's interviewing constantly. You know, I talk to Deanna 2-3 times a week, if not more. And so it's a lot of back and forth, and not just interviewing Deanna, but everybody else that had a role in this book. So it's been a lot of interview process, but I did say I'd do it. And I said, before I get started, I'd like to actually see your house and meet you in person. And it worked out that I was traveling back from a Paracon in Massachusetts back to Indiana where I live, and Pennsylvania's one way to go. So she's a little bit further out of my way. She's down by Gettysburg. It's Hanover, Pennsylvania. But I drove down there anyways, and I felt like I knew the house was insanely haunted, like probably more haunted in a negative aspect than anything I'd ever encountered before. So I felt like I was fairly well protected. I was saying my prayers and surrounding myself with positive energy and felt pretty confident that I was okay going in there. And I stepped foot over the over the doorway, and I couldn't have been more wrong. That place was insane. It was, I couldn't stay there for very long. It was awful.
So this is Deanna's home that is haunted, that she's talking about. Now, what exactly, you know, prior to you setting foot there and having all of this overwhelming feeling, what did you know? What had she told you about her case and about what she had been experiencing?
Well, her story has been on several paranormal shows, including The Dead Files and My Haunted House. So I did watch those episodes just to get a little bit more background. And I was aware of the house, so you can't not be. It's a very distinctive little brick house in the middle of town that looks like anything but a haunted house. And so it really kind of drew my attention. And I knew about Fox News had gone out there to do a segment around Halloween, and one of the newscasters got attacked on film. So I knew the story. It was really difficult not to know about it. Mm-hmm. But prior to going in, I just knew that she had had a very difficult time and that she was still going through a difficult time with the haunting. And if nothing else, I wanted to write her book. But once I got there, writing the book became secondary to helping this woman get out of the situation. So that was kind of where I set my sights.
What was her goal in this? Did she want to get out of living in this home? Did she want the home to simply calm down? What was the ultimate goal here for her when you met her?
She wanted to get out of the house. She had been there for 11 years, and the haunting just kept getting worse and worse, and getting to the point where it was getting really deadly, to the point where she realized that what was there wanted her dead. And it was only a matter of time before that happened. So she wanted out, but every time she'd try to get out, something would happen. The house was underwater on their mortgage, and they would have lost a ton of money. Her husband was a disbeliever. He really didn't believe most of what she told him was happening to her. So she was alone in this for a number of years, and she really just wanted out. And she was kind of hoping that if we got her story out, the full story out on paper in a book, that it would somehow lead her to some kind of solution. Mm-hmm. And it did eventually.
Let's talk about what was going on in that house. And I know it has been documented on various shows and things of that nature.
Right.
Many of our audience, you know, probably have not seen them, though.
Right.
Let's talk about what some of those things chronologically that were going on in the house for her specifically that just slowly escalated. Let's start at the beginning there. What were some of those things that she was going through?
Well, she was very much drawn to the house in an unnatural way. It was exactly what they weren't looking for. So a lot of my story also is a love story, because this was her third marriage, and she really finally met the man of her dreams, and she really wanted to have a happily ever after there, and that's what she saw this house would bring her. The house had other ideas. I really feel like it pulled her in from the very beginning. She was just adamant this was the only house she was interested in. And even though Tom expressed a lot of disinterest in it and brought up all the reasons why it wouldn't be a good house for them, she just wouldn't back down. And so they did finally buy the house. And she was elated for a couple days. And it was, you know, it was the first time they had really lived together. And they were like two kids getting started. But then weird things started happening. One of the first things that happened was, even before they bought the house, she went in with her camera and was taking pictures of the rooms just to document it, to show her, you know, to show her family and everything, what she was looking at. And in a lot of the pictures, there were weird, strange light anomalies, sweeps of light through the pictures and orbs. And in one picture, there looked like a man was staring in through one of the windows. And she thought it was odd, but her husband said, oh, it's probably just the light, or, you know, it's dust in the air or whatever. It's nothing to be worried about. But then once they got moved in, she spent a lot of time there by herself, because her husband worked. He was a pharmacist. He still is. And he worked kind of sometimes odd hours. And she found that at night was especially when she would start feeling just off, felt like somebody was watching her. She'd turn around and shadows would move really quickly. And, you know, first she was trying to make an explanation for it, like, oh, maybe a car drove by, or maybe it was, you know, me moving or something. And It started just getting worse and worse. And one thing that happened was she brought her cat there, her older cat, and the cat immediately reacted to the house, was terrified, wouldn't come out from the closet, and just started getting sick. The cat just eventually withered away to the point where they had to put her to sleep because she came in the house thriving and ended up dead within a few months. But she didn't necessarily connect that with the haunting. And just weird things started happening. Like she was outside raking one day, and this old bent over woman with a three-legged dog came walking up. And she just appeared out of nowhere and said, kind of had a witch's cackle. And she said, you know, a boy died in that basement, don't you? And Deanna went to put her rake down because she wanted to talk to the woman. And when she turned back around, the woman was gone. And she was right on a corner, so she could see a block in either way, and there was nowhere. That woman had just disappeared. So she just had a lot of really strange things in the beginning, but it wasn't anything that she would have attributed to a haunting. It was just odd.
Sure.
And then a month later, they started smelling really foul odors. Smelled like fecal urine and body odor all mixed together with cigar smoke, and it would just come on really strongly, and then it would disappear. And then they started seeing black mists moving in the corners even more profoundly than in the beginning. So it just started really slowly, to the point where Deanna really thought she was going crazy, because every time she'd say something to Tom, he would say, oh, that's, you know, that he would try to find an explanation. And sometimes his rationalizations were more far-fetched than just saying this is a haunting. But she tried to buy into that until she just couldn't. She knew something was going on. But then, you know, is it her mind? Is she crazy? She started Googling signs for schizophrenia, and you know, she really thought she was imagining some of this stuff until it just got more and more profound as time went along.
And that's what I think most would do instead of jumping immediately to haunting, especially when you have these things that are somewhat suggestive, that are somewhat, well, yeah, it could be this, but, you know, it's much more likely maybe there is something going on with me and I should look into this. So as time goes on and things continue to progress, is there a tipping point or an event that makes her say, okay, I know this is not me. I'm not having a mental break. I know this has confirmed to me that this in fact is something external from me. There's something going on with this new house that I'm living in.
Yeah, I think it kind of happened for her when her daughter Amber moved in. Amber was going to college and needed a place to stay. She'd been living with her dad, and she thought it would be great to move in with her mom and Tom. And Amber started having things happen to her as well. She stayed in the first floor bedroom, and Deanna and Tom had the second floor, which is kind of an attic that was converted into a master bedroom. So down on the first floor, Amber would go to bed at night, and she just noticed her bedroom seemed so dark, even though there were windows and streetlights outside. Her bedroom was like black as pitch at night. So, and then she started hearing footsteps outside her door. And it creeped her out. She couldn't sleep in a room without the door shut, and she always slept facing the door because she was terrified something was going to come through. And then she started hearing strange noises. One morning she woke up, and it sounded like somebody was slamming all the kitchen cabinets. And she got up and went in and looked, and all the cabinets were wide open. And her mother was still in bed asleep, so she went up and got her and said, Mom, you know, you got to come see this. And they came down, and I think, you know, Deanna having somebody else confirm what she had experienced really helped her understand that she was really not having this by herself. And her and Amber had several encounters together that really pushed both of them into the direction that this is definitely a haunting. One of them came, they went down to the basement to do laundry, and the basement was always just an eerie spot for Deanna. She just did not feel comfortable down there, but that was where the washer and dryer was, so she had to go down there. And even the cats, she ended up getting two new cats, and they refused to go down to the basement, and that's where their litter box was. They would make a mad dart down and then run back up, so there was definitely something weird going on in the basement. But she and Amber were doing laundry one day, and they were down there just chatting and talking and sorting laundry, and all of a sudden the lights went out, and it was just dark as it could be, and they couldn't see anything, and both of them kind of panicked a little bit because they were already uncomfortable being down in that basement. So they finally found their way up to the top of the stairs and realized that the power had not gone out. The lights had simply been turned off on them in the basement. So they flipped the switch back on and everything was fine. But, and that wasn't even the beginning. That was just the beginning. More and more stuff kept happening. And to the point where Amber finally said, "I've had enough." And she ended up moving out. Couldn't handle it anymore.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.